know of their extraordinary good fortune. Thus, within a lake in the Jamuna River, the Lord showed them his personal abode. The cowherd men were amazed to see that the kingdom of God had exactly the same spiritual atmosphere as their own earthly Vrindavan, and that just as in their Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was personally present. In their unique vision, he was present as the Lord of the spiritual world. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out, these verses emphasize that Lord Krishna did not merely show the cowherd men a sample Vaikuntha planet, but that he specifically revealed his Krishna Loka, the greatest but eternal abodes, and the natural home of the residents of Vrindavan, who loved Krishna more than anyone else did. Thus ends the purport of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 28th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Rescues Nana Maharaj from the Abode of Varuna. So there's been a very nice, sweet chapter. Krishna's doing all kinds of mystical things as usual. And here we've been hearing about how the residents of his hometown there in Vrindavan got a special sneak preview of the coming attractions. That actually when they leave that spiritual abode, they just get transferred to Krishna's supreme eternal abode in the spiritual world. And here it's describing that they don't see really a big difference of the atmosphere, that it's totally transcendental, just like they have there in Vrindavan. So really they have no problem, as it said in India, no problem. They have the best security plan, they're there with Krishna and enjoying like anything, and in the future they will also enjoy with Krishna. It's described in Nectar Devotion that Krishna could be appreciated as perfect, very perfect, and most perfect. It's hard to believe. These residents of Vrindavan, they have a perfect situation. They have a shelter, they're comfortable, they're with Krishna, so many things, they have everything they want, but there's a very perfect, and there's a most perfect spiritual realm that Krishna now is revealing to them. So they have the perfectness all down. They have all of it. And therefore they're feeling very sheltered. And also the pure devotee is also experiencing that same realization that Krishna is there all the time, that he's always protecting us. Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to actually chant 24 hours a day, meaning that even in our sleep, we're chanting. I remember when we used to chant on the streets like 8 hours a day or something like that. Sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night and the person next to me was sitting up chanting. You know, it was just was in us and it just would come out. So even in our sleep, we do chant. I know when I wake up in the morning, the first thing that comes to mind is a melody, the last melody I heard of the previous day. This process is a wonderful plan for our security and protection, and to develop that love for Krishna, which will definitely transfer us to Krishna. Therefore, there really isn't any fear. Just like these residents of Vrindavan, they don't have any fear. They know they're going to be transferred there. That's actually where they came from. And we came from there too. And so we're going to also be transferred back to the spiritual world. And if we can develop that purity now, then we'll see Krishna before us also. I think everyone in this room, it feels a shelter just in hearing the perfect message of Krishna. These words are absolute. It's non-different than Krishna. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that every page is non-different than Krishna. He said every word is non-different than Krishna. We can have personal association and realization just by understanding one word of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore the devotees, they can't go a day without hearing the Bhagavatam. It's just, your day isn't complete without hearing it sometime during the day. Even if you can't hear it in the morning, you go home, and now with all the technology, you can just hear the class that was on a different part of the planet even by somebody else 3 days ago, like they were describing the other day, some other new technology. So We have the best of the best of everything. So we should really count our blessings, as it's described in here, how fortunate they are. But we are so fortunate. I know every day, even more so, I guess as I get older or something like that, I'm just counting my blessings all during the day, that I'm able to actually gradually, you know, think of Krishna more and more, that in ways that, you know, that fill your whole life so that you don't forget Krishna as much as you used to. You see Krishna's hand in chastisement that you might get during the day. Oh, I needed that, Krishna, thank you. You know, or you might see him as a direction, helping. You know, go here, do that, say that to that person, preach in that way. You can feel Krishna using you more and more, so therefore Krishna's there. Or you might even experience Krishna as, oh boy, that was a really hard test today. You know, you see Krishna giving you a test, making you jump higher hurdles, lifting the bar. So this is a way that we can really make ourselves Krishna conscious, put Krishna in our lives all the time to see him there. And of course, the chanting of the holy name is immediate contact, that gift that we have. So we should really understand the fortune that we have. But when one understands how fortunate they have, they really appreciate it, then they want to reciprocate. They want to show that appreciation. And Srila Prabhupada was, of course, the personal example. He had the greatest fortune, and he just brought it with him, and he gave it to us. And he taught us to also take this, and wherever you go, give it to somebody, in whatever way you can. You know, even sing to the trees, whatever. You know, everyone can benefit by these holy names. So we should realize that and take that example and imbibe it. Right now, it's just someone sent me a little link. It's called it's a Facebook page called Fortunate People, and it's really a wonderful thing. That I guess one Sankirtan devotee in Europe was giving out so many books all the time, and then he recently thought, you know, all these books are going out. I don't know if they read them. They don't realize what they have, that they're so fortunate. And so he made this Facebook page called Fortunate People. And he actually goes, when he distributes books now, it's like a follow-up. You know, we're not very good with our follow-ups. I know I'm not. I preach to so many people. I take the emails, and it just gets lost in papers, you know. But this is a way that he has his phone, I guess, and he says, go online right now. You know, he gives them the book, and he says, go on and say you like it right now. And so it encourages them to come back, and then it's like a spoon-fed, giving of Krishna consciousness. I went on the site. You should go on there, and it has a little astrology, a little vegetarian cooking class, a little this, a little that, and I guess it's doing really well. So if you're out there preaching, and you give someone a book, tell them to go and look and take part in this fortune that they've just been put in their hands, to go further and further. And it's a wonderful site. So we should understand our fortune. And it's really kind of hard to realize that we were in the spiritual world. We were also a resonant of this eternal, beautiful bow that's been described here. And we had our position, we had our shoes on, and we had this position. This was our loving service with Krishna. And then one day we just kicked off our shoes right in Krishna's face, and we left. It's unimaginable that we've done that. But now Krishna is saying, here's your shoes again. Come, just put your feet back in and just keep on serving me. What fortune. Srila Prabhupada is training us again to take up that position that Krishna is so willing to take us back. So we should definitely count our blessings and get back into that service attitude. That's what we need to do. We have to change this, you know, self-gratification attitude to serving Krishna again. And we have so many opportunities, unlimited. Just ask Mukhya, she'll give you about 10 lists of things you could do around here. So we have to be careful and really understand full-heartedly what this jewel of devotional service is. Of course, there's that wonderful story, maybe some people, there's some new people here, haven't heard this story about the touchstone. There was one very advanced devotee, disciple of Lord Chaitanya, Sanatana Goswami, and he was known to have a precious thing, and it got word to some lowly individual that was desperate for, you know, some you know, fortune. And so he was told that Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone, that anything he would touch, it would turn to gold. And he got so excited, wow. And so he went to see Sanatana Goswami, who was just simply chanting on his beads and kind of near some rubbish pile. And the person said, oh, I heard you have a touchstone. Can I have it? And he said, oh, yeah, it's over there in the garbage pile. You can have it. And so he went over there and he got it. And, wow, gold, I got gold. You know, I can touch anything, gold. And then he's thinking, this is the best thing. Then why is it in the garbage? Maybe there's something better around here. So he went back and said, is there something better? I mean, if you just throw it over there. And he goes, so do you really want it? Do you really want the best thing? Do you really want a fortune, a jewel? And he says, yeah, of course I do. And he goes, well, then you have to give up your attachment for all these mundane fortunes, this counterfeit pleasure and fortune. So he did, and he said, okay, now here's the holy names. And he gave him this Maha Mantra. So this is our real gift of all things in Krishna consciousness. This holy name is very precious. And in order to obtain it, we do. We have to gradually give up our connections and identification and our attachment to all these material things that we think maybe could be, I'm sure, will give me some pleasure, some eternal pleasure. But we have to give them up. And it's a gradual process, but it's a joyful process because we're always getting things better and better with the holy name. And that's why we put on these holy names festival, to get a big dose of it, to actually experience that pleasure. And so there's different kinds of chanting, but this sankirtan, this chanting is actually one of the five most important processes in our movement, in this whole process of Krishna consciousness. And the holy name can come in different fashions, just like japa, chanting our beads, and then kirtan, sankirtan, so many different ways. So this weekend we have a nice opportunity of congregationally chanting, coming together. It's sociably acceptable. It's actually, people like this probably the best. We can all come together and we see all different kinds of people, you know, fat, skinny, Russian, Puerto Rican, whatever, all together. And we're all just blissed out on just chanting the holy name. The room last night was, you know, packed wall to wall, you know, no more seats available. Because everyone likes to come together, and so why not come together and chant the holy names? It's very uplifting. We actually need a boost. How many of us could take to just chanting by ourselves for the rest of our lives without some association, without some other help? We need more horsepower, HP, but it's not horsepower, it's holy name power. So we need to increase our HP, and that gives us a boost. And it really puts us forward. After the Holy Name Festival, these retreats, we fill up and are forced forward. And it's something that you don't forget. I remember, I experienced a wonderful time. You know, every year you can remember at some point in hearing all those holy names for so long of just an experience of transcendence. So that's what we're looking forward to. And this was all jump-started by Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago. He understood that we needed this social get-together and this extra horsepower, and the holy name power to get us to the point where we can become Krishna conscious again. So he started the movement of chanting the holy names, going all over India and dragging and attracting everyone to hear the holy name. He said that the holy name alone can render all benedictions upon the living beings. So we somehow or other have to pray for that realization that that's really our saving grace is the holy name. There's one very beautiful song, and one of the verses is, when there is attachment for the holy name of Krishna, the life of a living being very easily becomes successful. Oh, without affection for Krishna, life is simply useless. At the end of life, you will attain the beautiful vision of Radhe Shyam in Vrindavan, just like these residents in Vrindavan, but only when the mercy of Gaur is received. And then it says, oh. And so we have to get the blessings of Lord Chaitanya with his Sankirtan movement and really take it within us and appreciate it. Now, so we're supposed to describe about the intentions of this festival. Of course, it's advertised, you know, with the faces of some wonderful devotees and talented devotees, and we're thinking, the best entertainment. I can just go home and turn it on, the best kirtanias and, you know, entertainment at its peak, transcendental entertainment. But it's not just a spectator sport. It's actually a precipitatory process. Thank you, editor. So this is involving, and we should look at it that way, going into it, that I'm going to participate, I'm going to suck in as much as I can, and give out from my heart as much as I can. We have this new little calf here. I don't know if you've seen her, but she has extraordinarily big ears. They're like satellite dishes. So we, with our little teeny satellite dishes, we have to somehow or other take in as much as we can during this weekend, figure out how to, you know, be as receptive as possible to the holy name. Actually, you know, this it's going to get very cold tonight, and I asked Nanda to make some. I saw on the internet another cow that had little socks on her ears, so we made some yesterday for the calf, but she wasn't very cooperative in putting them on. We'll have to try again. So anyway, this is really a feast for our soul, and as we digest it, then this process of detachment from material things happens. It's an automatic thing. You get more attached to the holy name, and as you digest it, then all the other things that shouldn't be there, that keep us from hearing properly, they get dissipated. It's you know, hearing, chanting, it works. It really works on those attachments and anarthas, things that we really don't need in our life right now. In this lifetime, we just don't need them. We need just the holy name, because that's what's going to benedict us. So the intentions are also, you know, we want to have that transcendental experience. We want to actually leave this mundane world for a while, for a weekend. Let's get out of it. We've been working all week. We are doing this and that. Get away from our mind for a few hours or a few days, and get away from time. We were discussing the other day in class this Hari story, saying that when one's liberated, there's no more time. Can you imagine? You don't have to go to work. You don't have to do this, right? You got time, this. So that can actually be experienced in this chanting process. You can actually move away from the mind's illusions. So many illusions are there. There's another wonderful song. It's all about the bird, the little bird that needs to chant within our heart. And one of the lines is, oh bird, come, let us go to the spiritual world, the land of true and everlasting beauty. It is a place where the imaginary man of the mind will never again come and go on the revolving cycle of birth and death. So during this time of chanting, it's a retreat, and it's the perfect escape away from our mind, this imaginary mind that we have that collects so many things. So treat yourself to this retreat. Take advantage of it and come and relish the holy name. So we can train. It's described in that psalm that you can actually train the bird to chant Hare Krishna. We can, that little bird in our heart, we can get it to chant the holy name. And so during this time, it's a long time, it's 12 hours each day if you're there the whole time, it's a good time to practice and train that bird of the heart to really chant, and to chant very deeply. The residents in Vrindavan here are actually on a, they got the, like a special tour right to the spiritual world, and it just took Krishna a snap of his finger. I mean, all I did was have to think of it, and it just happened. And that can happen to us in just a few hours, in just a minute in this kirtan. It doesn't take very long, and you can go very far. I was just noticing an article about the next projection of space travel to Mars. And you can actually leave from the planet. It takes you about, I don't know, how many hundreds of days to get out of that system, and then another 100 days to get over here. And then by the time you go to Mars and come back, it's 500 days of your life in spaced out. Spaced out completely. For what? And in just a few minutes, in a few hours, we can go to the spiritual world. And just by the really hearing one holy name of the Lord, we can visit Vaikuntha. So, I mean, and it doesn't cost you any money. Imagine to get on that first Mars trip, it's going to cost you big bucks. Never say, start saving up. Save up to be spaced out. Anyway, I don't understand it all. But anyway. So there's all kinds of chanting, like we mentioned, the japa. For some people, it's very difficult. I'm by myself. I'm goodbye with my mind. How do I get past it? And it's so difficult, so many hours. And blah, 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 blah. You know, a lot of us experience that. Gets better, don't worry, as you chant. You actually relish it more and more. Because it's such an intimate thing. You're just personally there with Krishna. And nothing else matters. You're just developing that relationship again with Krishna, trying to please him with the holy name. And then there's the kirtan, which is very relishable. And we'll find that during this time, because it is so melodious, because it is arranged so nicely, it just carries us away so quickly. You know, the different melodies make you think of different pastimes of Krishna, and you can just go to Krishna and think of Krishna very nicely. So, yeah, take advantage of that. And during that time, you can also understand, because you're chanting Krishna's name so many times, how limitless Krishna's name is. Because every time you chant it, there's a new Krishna there. There's a new experience, a new philosophical understanding. There's so much going on in that holy name, so you can understand that there's no depth. It's ever fresh, the holy name. I mean, how many times will you chant in those 12 hours? Think of how many times Madhava Dasa chanted Hare Krishna. You don't get tired, just sitting there. You know, not moving, chanting Hare Krishna. So we also have to, during this time, we can realize that we're actually servants of the holy name. This is our real position in this lifetime. We have to learn how to really serve the name. And I really appreciate all those facilitators who do take the jugya of leading the kirtans and everything, what a service they're doing for us who are trying to become servants of the holy names. Okay, sacrifice on their part to do that. I remember when I was in one of the kirtans one time, I was realizing that actually us all together in that room, we were in the tent over there, it was freezing cold, I remember, as it always is. Even though it might have been 80 degrees the day before, it gets cold for the festival. We bring these Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda devis that are really gorgeous. And they're quite tall, and they put them way up high. And I was noticing it was one of those times when they say, everyone put their hands in the air, you know, really, you know, let it out. And then I looked through all the different hands, and I could see Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda's hands up in the air, too. And I was thinking, they were just so happy to see everyone with their hands in the air and chanting. It was just like, you know, the more the better, you know. And he's trying. Look, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda here have had their hands up how many years? They're still encouraging us. Come on, you know. And they don't get tired of waiting for us to really to get into it. So we should realize that during this time we can join Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party and please him to no extent. So there's so many different ways of chanting. Actually, the icing on the cake, if you ask me, is bhajan. I love bhajan. It's like a transfusion. Because all the feelings of the great acharyas and teachers, the virilized souls, we can take their message and put it in our hearts and begin to experience what they're saying in all these prayers, the realizations. We're kind of like robbing it. We're stealing from it. But what we're trying to do is just imbibe it in ourselves, transfer it into our hearts so that we can have that feeling too, that we can have that realization too. So the bhajan is the cream, if you ask me, of discussing, chanting and discussing the realizations and being able to just, you know, try to express it ourselves by, you know, singing and glorifying the Lord also. So the nectar of the holy name is just, you know, there's many faceted. And so whatever you like, you can take as much as you want this whole lifetime, and possibly many, many more lifetimes, and of course eternally in the spiritual world. That's what's going on. That's the only thing going on. It's glorifying Krishna. So somehow or other, you know, beg, borrow, steal, but get the nectar of the holy name. So we can beg during this festival, please just give me a taste of chanting. And I was realizing this morning chanting that we should have that feeling of separation from that taste. You know, you describe Lord Chaitanya says, you know, to have that feeling of separation. I actually experienced in the horse trailer driving the little calf. I was in with her to the for a couple hours driving her here the other day. And she had only been 1 hour, I mean 1 day away from her mother. And literally, tears were squirting out of her eyes. And I was thinking, Lord Chaitanya was in that mood of separation, and tears would squirt out and hit the people near them. You know, I never could see it, but I saw it with the little calf, you know. That actually, that's the mood we should have of separation from that holy name, that gift, that jewel, that fortune that we have, that I don't have enough attachment to it, so somehow or other, get me closer to that. And hopefully that at the time of death we will have those holy names in our ears and in our hearts. So this is a great opportunity, and everyone should try to take advantage. And surely we'll be delivered on the little shuttle bus back to the supreme abode where the most fortunate persons are and are going to, the residents of Vrindavan. So maybe if someone would like to add something or add a question. Mahendra.
Just a comment.
I don't know if we want to do this slowly. Just with the
microphone. I don't know if there are enough people that know how to do that. But maybe it's a bad reason.
There has to be guru or someone who is going to connect my chanting. Otherwise, not possible. Very nicely Prabhupada put it. That it has to be connect to the absolute truth. And then proportion to conscious acceptance will produce the result. So it is not that everybody chanting, everybody will be in the same level. As much consciously I accept, understand this philosophy and believe it, that much result I will get when I chant. If I don't believe it, I'm just hanging in there, I will have only that much, that little. So it is very important. Then it is the same thing like Bhagavad Gita, I think 3rd chapter, 1st sloka, in the middle to end, Prabhupada put there, we do not advise one to chant in a solitary place without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So like many things repeat. Therefore it would be nice also if more devotee comes to the Bhagavatam class and they hear, then their chanting will produce better results because the faith will come stronger.
That's why we have initiation. Initiation is the beginning. So this initiation, you actually give them the whole name, that connection with the same result. Very important.
The residents of Vrindavan, they were very simple people. But it seems that it's these very people are also in the spiritual world. So that simplicity sometimes is misunderstood as backwardness. You know, can you shed some light on that?
Our lives, it's not that we're, you know, caveman or something like that. We're not, it's simple, maybe less simple, and then we'll have more time for Krishna. I don't think, a long time ago, I think people thought that we were too simple and that we were just, less intelligent, but I think people now have a different understanding that we're actually very intelligent people. And I think a lot of people are jealous that we can't have such a simple mood of life, but I don't know, it'd be wonderful for me.
Hare Krishna. In the 11th canto, there's part of the Uddhava Gita, like right near the beginning, is Krishna's teaching Uddhava, and he quotes this realized soul who learned so many things from the earth, from the dog, from the bee, like that. So you mentioned this calf, and it brought to mind this verse that Vritrasura chanted right before Indra slew him and he went back to Gada. And he gives that very analogy, the calf. I don't give the whole verse. Ajata paksha eva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsatadak chudarta. And that stanyam is as just as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So just thinking in this environment, you can learn so much just from the natural thing. It's a very nice lesson. Thank you.
Actually, in regards to what Trikram said, that Prabhupada commented, I think it was in the Los Angeles community, that the neighbors were actually kind of jealous that we weren't working, but we had all these, opulences of cars and trucks and vans and everything, and didn't even have a job or anything, but we had the opulence.
Then you join us.
Just like the little rickshaw guy in Calcutta, he would say too, "Come, why don't you join us?" No. Anyway, yes.
Hare Krishna. I had a near-death experience in which I, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I firmly believe I went to the eternal abode. I felt that it was a star. I didn't have a context for it. And it was a very beautiful, wonderful place. And when she was talking about the calf being separated from her mother, I was already like tearing up whenever I hear about the eternal abode, because some part of me knows that I miss it. And it wasn't just that experience, which obviously was very transforming, and whether I was conscious of it or not, brought me to Krishna consciousness. But it's not just when we chant, it's not just, I mean, we all know that, obviously, that it has very, very deep meaning. And it's as close as we can get in this world, I feel, to what's there. And I do miss it all the time.
Now we can have it all the time by chanting all the time.
Right. Yeah. So, and before I knew that, I just missed it without knowing how to get it back. And so I want to thank everyone and thank the spiritual master and thank the teachers. And when I chant, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we should also be that grateful. When we first get Krishna consciousness, sometimes we forget.
So my tears are not that of sadness anymore.
Right. Well, we're glad you're on your way back home, back to Godhead with all of us. We're all trying to get purified by the holy name so we can all be there in the spiritual world together. Jai Shri Baba Ki Jai.